A blessed day here at the Art of Flying podcast. It's me, Tobin Osuski, and today our guest is Gatsby, who is a very dynamically talented artist. Thank you for joining me here today.
No problem. Good to be here.
Awesome. So where can listeners find you first and foremost?
So my main platform would be Spotify, and that would be G-A-T-Z-B-Y, but then you can find me on social media at Real Gatsby, one word, again, R-E-A-L-G-A-T-Z-B-Y.
Thank you. And guys, I just want to interject a little something. Go to his YouTube and search him on YouTube as well, because you'll see a very good expression of a lot of his mediums of art coming together in one. Gatsby, can you explain to the listeners your purpose?
My purpose? Intense starter. I believe my purpose would be to create. To create something, to create art, to create music, just to create whatever I come up with that day and whatever medium I can.
I love it. How'd you get on this path?
I think I've always just, I kind of feel like I was born as a creative person. I've just always been writing. I've always been kind of like doing different things. Just my mind has always wandered throughout my life. So it just kind of, I guess the art would be just kind of letting it wander and seeing where it takes me. I think that's the most accurate.
Well said. I like that. So now the fun Art of Flying questions. Let's dive into it. From your perspective, what is heaven to you?
What is heaven? I've actually been having some kind of, I guess, incontinuities in my beliefs lately, because my grandparents passed away, and I went to mass. They were very religious in Catholicism, and I always believed, and I always just kind of took for, like, I just always believed that they were in heaven, the Christian heaven. But then whenever I think about that for myself, I never think of it as heaven. I don't really believe in my own way that there is going to be some big city with people that in their present state, as if like they're just human bodies, but it's some big city in the clouds that we just like, oh, we found it. But my mother would kick my ass. Can I curse on this?
Yes, you can.
Can kick my ass if I was talking like that, but I just don't know what it would be. It's like I'm almost torn between the idea that you live and you die and you're gone, but then if somebody asks me, oh, where are your grandparents? I'm like, oh, in heaven, of course. So I'm not saying it makes sense. I'm just saying that that's the issue that I've yet to resolve as of late.
I like it. Have you felt enlightenment? If so, please describe.
Enlightenment. How would you define enlightenment?
How would I? I would be very literal in kind of the alchemical way. Enlightenment means to bring light to something. So I think someone can be enlightened very spontaneously and instantly through a certain situation or combination of factors or sensory inputs or wisdom deriving from knowledge, or we could see full enlightenment like the Buddha described it, or some sort of Christ consciousness, which we've discussed, which is kind of our highest attainment of consciousness.
I definitely have not received Christ consciousness yet. I think that's from a lack of really knowledge of really delving into the subject. But as far as enlightenment, I mean, how I'm taking that could honestly be it's when I'm truly in love with what I'm creating and I'm truly confident in where I'm at artistically. And so right now we're sitting in a photography studio, but it's also my art studio, and we're on a giant white tarp, and I have a red giant thing of acrylic paint in my hand, and I'm painting an alphabet, which I'll later digitalize and use to promote my next project. And if I get the R really well in this project, that's, I guess that could almost be in the type of realm of the enlightenment, is that I just feel like I'm doing it correctly and I'm in the right spot where I should be, if that makes sense.
I believe it makes a lot of sense. I'm sure the viewers and listeners will as well. That was well said. Thank you.
Not
and that's
thing, man.
Kind of what I would like to impress upon listeners of this show, because this is a show about truth. It's not about fantasies and what we are imagining is possible. It's about the things that are actually manifesting in our lives and bring us true happiness and bring us to these higher states of feeling accomplished. And I'm excited because you're technically our first creator by trade, our first artist by trade that I have on the show. I've had healers, I've had entrepreneurs, I've had yoga instructors and kind of physicists of sorts. You're the first one that's bringing that perspective of, you know, being in the zone in that state of pure creation as your trade and your craft. And it's very...
That's interesting.
Yeah, you know, impressive to see, I should say.
I really like that.
Yeah. So, you kind of tapped upon it, a moment of your personal flow state and things like that. Do you believe that we as a society or a collective can build utopia?
No.
Okay.
Please Zero explain. Chance. I would love, obviously, but that I would love a utopian society, but I just don't think that's possible.
Okay.
I guess I... comes from a lack of faith in humanity. Yes. I think theoretically you can imagine how it could be possible. You could think about it, but I think even if there was strict regulations and they set everything up as utopian, or if you build a utopian society in the woods with a small engagement of people, it will inevitably crumble due to the demons in every human soul. I don't think it's possible. That might be the nihilist in me, but I really don't see a way where you could truly have a utopian society in that could run properly and provide for all its people and not disbar within a certain amount of time. I love the idea. I mean, who by definition everybody should love the idea, but I think on that same thought is that by definition my idea of utopia is completely different than your idea of mm-hmm. utopia. So if you find a bunch of people who are even interested in the same exact stuff and want to do the same thing, I don't think they'd be happy in what they think utopia is.
So difference of opinion would be one limiting factor to that ideal state, potentially.
I definitely think there's many limiting factors.
Mm. What would some others be?
When it just comes down to it, I think that a utopia... it's either you're going to have nobody in charge or one person in charge.
Mm-hmm.
And in just like one example, okay, so one person's in charge, one other person doesn't like that person, no longer utopia. Nobody's in charge, one person is born to have a strong desire for power, but they can't achieve it because they're not electing a leader.
Mm-hmm.
Again, no more utopia, because then they could maybe lead an uprising, they could have issues, I mean, what is also the definition of utopia? Is it complete? Is it like everybody's completely one with each other, or would it be a society without death and war? Would it be?
Well, I would see it more as a harmony. So I'm speaking to a musician in a sense. Like, imagine you can get a choir to harmonize for the length of a song, that could be extrapolated to a society harmonizing for the length of their lifetimes.
I think it's a beautiful idea, and I would love to see it, but I have my strong, strong doubts in its usability.
So maybe if we let another species take over the primary arrangement of this planet, we would learn from them, because humans clearly have some stuff going on that's limiting
us. We got some issues, man. We got a bunch of issues.
So, speaking of other... inspirational species, and this could just be a philosophical thing, it could be a physical thing, it could be what the word evokes in your spirit. What does flying mean to you?
Flying. I mean, I'm definitely not going to go with the literal sense, since that's definitely not what we're going after here. You're flying high, man. Flying. It really, I think there's just certain moments where you can feel that way, but flying. I mean, maybe it could be how you perceive certain times that you're experiencing different emotions. Maybe if you're just truly happy in a certain moment, you could be flying in that moment that you're speaking of, but flying. I think it's just, I don't think of it as flying. I would think of it more as just like at peace. I like that. Because it's just, I have a lot of anxiety, and I have for a while, and I've suffered with depression. I've been diagnosed and been taking medication for a while. And so it's so often that I will find myself in such a place of unrest and horrible unease. I mean, it was years that I couldn't even go to a mall food court because I would shake too bad and I couldn't actually eat because I was too, I don't know, I was too freaked out by all the people around. My job is to stand in front of crowds and I'm freaked out of crowds, so that's fun. But I mean, maybe it's just like a moment where I'm not freaking out. Maybe that could be me flying high. And it's almost like you wouldn't notice it if you weren't looking for it. I don't think it has to be this profound moment. It could just be the fact that you're not in a bad place that you often find yourself. And that could be flying high.
I love that. Thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. I can relate to that. That's why I'm pausing for a moment, because I have a lot of friends who would describe themselves with certain words you just used, and feeling like they're always in these low places and struggling a majority of the time, some of them, and some of them haven't made it this far.
Yeah, it's a hell of a path, and it's extremely difficult, but just finding things you love to do and giving yourself goals, which is why for the past 5 years, I've been constantly working on music and constantly trying to express myself and just get things done and finish the song and finish the project. And I put so much work into the art because that's just another thing that I can say, all right, you have to go get the cover art done. And if I'm working and I'm creating something, then it's just so much less likely that I'm just going to be stopping and being in my head and upsetting myself and getting into like that chain of I'm anxious because I'm anxious because I'm anxious and then spiraling out of control. So if I'm working and if I'm doing something with my hands, then everything is just a little bit easier to get through. I don't know.
It's great. So anybody listening, and I once heard a phrase that, and I'm not going to say it perfectly correct, but you guys can look this up. It's something like, use fear as a tailwind instead of a headwind. Have you ever heard that? And that just brings back flying in, is because, you know, fear itself, we can approach it. And I'm going to use Gatsby's life here as a nice example, that he had trouble even going to a mall with crowds. And now I've seen him perform probably in front of hundreds of people, if not greater than that. And it's not like a limited thing. And he seems extremely confident and well composed and like he was meant to be there. And that's, you know, facing the fear head on, but at the same time using it to provide that performance for you. And that's, you know, how you fly, is you got to hit a headwind straight on and then you can start getting over it and using the pressure systems to propel you forward. So,
and it's also just knowing yourself. I got very stressed out for a long time being in the crowd. I did not like being in the crowd at a show. So whenever I went to go see my friends at a show, I took up photography, and that way I was always backstage at any of the shows I wanted to because I was taking pictures. And it also gave me the task to do during the set. So it's honestly, it's just coming to a point where you understand yourself and understand what's going to make you happier and make life a little bit easier and make things just more, make your goals to be outside and to be with people more obtainable by putting it in ways that are achievable. I kind of just started using a lot of big words there. I feel like I lost myself, but it's basically just know yourself, know how to control yourself, and know how to achieve that control over yourself in a situation that you might otherwise be out of control if you weren't aware of where you were.
I like that a lot. And something I derived from what he was saying there and would be very important for the listeners to hear this is find yourself in that right position in life.
And put yourself
there. You know, get yourself to that point. It's not where we land on this planet, but it's where we put ourselves to, you know, use our skills and our anxieties and our fears to allow us to flourish properly. And if we're just standing and letting life keep beating us down without stepping out of the way, that's philosophically the same thing as standing in traffic and expecting not to get run over by a truck.
Damn.
Right? And
imagery.
Yeah, and I've had to do that in my life so many times where I felt I was in all the right places and they were not working out for me. And I've played elite sports. I've made a ton of money at certain companies, but something about that didn't feel right to me, and it brought on anxiety and depression and a lack of progress specifically. As I reflect over the past 10, 15 years, when I've been in those situations and holding on to things that I wasn't meant to be standing in that position, I've limited myself and my existence and my destiny, and as a result, limited the people around me because I wasn't in a point where I could inspire them to do the right things by standing in the right place. And it always brings me to like a checkerboard or a chessboard, kind of.
Okay.
You know, I'm not the best chess player, but I've always admired it big time because, you know, so many people say, oh, it teaches you so much about life, but I just see it as wherever I walk, there's a checkerboard or a chessboard, and there's, you know, certain squares that you should find yourself in and other ones that are going to get you in trouble and taking you out of the game.
Huh.
And especially growing up in North Jersey, I mean, you step into the wrong square, you're literally in the wrong neighborhood, and you could die from that. And
yeah.
And I've known a lot of people I grew up with that suffered that. But then at the same time, you could walk 5 miles away from those places and be in one of the richest places in the world and the most opportunity around. Like, I used to hang out in 10th Avenue and some of these projects in Patterson.
Yeah.
Where I didn't think I'd make it out that night. And then a few years later, I found myself in $10 million mansions in Upper Saddle River training clients that were children of NBA players or pop stars.
That's wild.
And I'm hanging out Halloween party with Wyclef Jean from the Fugees and stuff. And like, I'm like, how did I, and it was all about how I was aligning myself in spots I was placing myself in.
Okay, how about this? I hate the phrase, what's meant to be will be. And I want to know your opinion on that, because that bothers me so much. I completely just think that life is a, obviously there's things that are out of your control, like a death of a loved one or illness.
Mm-hmm.
But I truly believe the majority of life is your decisions have consequences. And even if you can't see the consequences, or if there's ripple effects, or if it's somebody else's decision, it's constantly you have to make decisions, and you can always change what's going on, your situation, and your future. And I don't believe in destiny. I don't believe in fate. I don't believe in any type of that. I believe that you are in complete control, and whatever you decide happens to an extent. Like, obviously what I'm saying, it's just like certain things you cannot control, but I don't believe in fate is basically what I'm getting at. And I want to know your opinion on that.
Thank you for asking, because in the past few days, I've joked with some friends, but there's been a lot of seriousness in it, and I said, fate hates me. And I also used to have a shirt that said Manifest Destiny that I wore around all the time, and I think that, right, that goes kind of in the same thing is, man, if I was looking at my life and all the really horrible things I've been through, and you guys can look up my story and see pictures about all the horrible things I've had to suffer through, and that's not just me, that's a lot of people. Like, and I talk to people about fate and destiny, and I work with people on a daily basis who have been through horrific spinal cord injuries and traumatic brain injuries where they're very limited in their life right now, and it's not as capable as they used to be. So these were people that were born and, you know, achieved high military ranks, high worldly success, and then all of a sudden, a small little accident, they fell off a boat, or they were skiing and they had an accident, or they were in a subtle car accident, and then it changed their life completely. When I bring up destiny and fate to these people, they like roll their eyes and they get a grimace on their face. And it's all about readjusting their perspective. I don't like fate. I do not acknowledge it. That's not one of my demigods or whatever you call it. You know, one of the forces I worship and obey under. But destiny, I don't see as something that's a predetermined thing. I think it's absolutely what we create and what we're able to do in the places we place ourselves or put ourselves. And that goes back to that checkerboard thing is, pardon my language, guys, we've cursed in this. Fate fucked me at the end of the day, so I'm not cool with fate. That's like an ex-girlfriend that's cheated. Like, no, thank you. I'm not cool with it. But destiny to me is being able to create the reality that we envision for ourselves, and I don't think that has anything to do with any type of formal system or dogma, or somebody elsewhere that's determining these things in these paths. Like, you don't play a chess game and somebody's standing there like telling you what moves to make. You've got to figure it out yourself.
You've got to figure out everything.
You know? So that said, that's a good transition into the next question. Have any of your dreams come true? And that could be figurative dreams for your career true. Or actual dreams that you've had at night and then woke up and these things have come true.
No, because that denotes some sort of finality. Mm. I've always wanted a family and I've wanted to have a girl that I love, and I have that right now, and we've been together 6 years and I'd love to marry her. And I'd love to have a family, and that's one of the things that I love, and that is a dream of mine, but, I mean, at no point do I think that'll be finalized until I'm dead.
Mm-hmm.
I love music, and I want to take it as far as I can to create an income for myself that's sustainable, so this is the only thing I have to do, and that hasn't happened yet, but once I reach that level, it's not the end, it's not the end of the dream. It's more, I would think of a dream as... I don't know. I never really got that. I don't really understand the term dream. Like, I get, like, it's like, oh, that's my dream. That's the thing that I really want to do. But, I mean, if you want to do something, then do it. If you're trying to get somewhere, then try to get there.
Yes.
And if you're not trying to get somewhere, then... Or if you're not actively working at it, then it's never going to happen. So why would you even think about it?
Mm-hmm.
So... That's kind of how I operate, that if I really want to be somewhere and if I really want to work on something, then I'm working on it. And I'm obviously not the best on that. I watch videos on YouTube, or I watch other things, and I get distracted. I'm not constantly working on it, and I'll stress myself bad about not working on it, and I worry horribly about how it's going to do or how it's going to go. But that's all just on the path to getting there, and it's just setting goals for yourself and achieving it. But I don't think of any end game for anything I do. Hmm. It's just the journey's everything. That's pretty much all it is for me.
Yeah, so a dream unfolding.
Yeah, I think there's certain times where, if I was going to sell out SOBs in New York City, that would be a really special venue to me.
You hear that, SOBs?
What's up?
You hear that, SOBs?
Yeah. It's actually Sound of Brazil.
Yeah.
I'm serious.
Yeah, I used to go there for shows all the time.
I love that place, and I really want to sell that place out one day. I'm not at that point yet. The Electric Factory in Philly would be another venue I'd like to sell out. I would love just a lot of other things in my career. It's the day I have a kid, and it's these moments that I'll appreciate, and it'll be almost feel like the start of a new beginning or the end of that part of the journey. But I don't think of anything as a dream. Mm. I think it's either things you're actively doing or things you're not doing.
I like that. I like that very much. So you're very lucid in this dream we're living in.
Yeah, I've been living the dream, man.
I love it. In your opinion, what is the highest level of human accomplishment?
The highest level of human accomplishment? The highest level of human accomplishment. I don't think I could decide that, because there's things I want to accomplish that nobody else would even care about doing, and there's things that you might want to do that I don't care to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, maybe the highest level of human accomplishment might be do something that affects the world in such a way that you're remembered when you're gone for eons, like a Shakespeare or a Aristotle. Or Mozart.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you can affect the world, I think that would be definitely the highest level. All right, yeah, no, that's definitely the highest level of human accomplishment.
I love it. So
if you can come up with
a timeless legacy.
Like Gandhi,
yeah.
Like Mozart, and not in a negative way, don't be a Hitler. If you can positively affect generations where everybody looks back, even a Martin Luther King, where you can be ahead of the time in social justice, I think that's beautiful things. If people can look back at your legacy and be like, wow, he figured out before we did, or anybody did, I think that's incredible. In F. Scott Fitzgerald, who writes absolutely incredible works, where I got my namesake from. Things like that. I think that would be definitely the highest level. And I don't think everybody should strive for that. Because that's such a lofty goal, and if you everybody wants to do that, it's never going to happen. I think certain people, it just happens for. I don't think Shakespeare truly believed that he would be still remembered in 1,000 years. I think that's just something you have to see what happens. I mean, you do as much as you can while you're here, and then whatever happens afterwards happens. You're not going to be here anyway. But just do your best at whatever you want to do while you're here.
So Gatsby just proved he's a psychic because he answered my next question.
I'm sorry.
No, don't be sorry. That was a wonderful... No, it was a perfect transition. So the next question for the listeners was, how can we inspire others to attain that highest human accomplishment? And he touched upon it. I'm going to ask him to elaborate a little bit, but it's just...
Yeah, please.
I mean, it's not about being the highest level of human. It's about being the highest level of you. It's about what do you really want to do, and are you doing it? And if you're really working towards your end goal, even though it's not like really the end, but like if you're really working towards the goals that you've set for yourself, and that doesn't have to be like set a new religion or create a entire business or write beautiful plays. It could just be start a family. And if that's your goal, then work towards that, and you do that in your lifetime, then that's beautiful. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. If you just want to have a regular life and go to school as a teacher or an engineer or a plumber, and that makes you happy, then why not? It's just about, man, do what you want to do. Do what you got to do. I mean, sometimes I wish I didn't want to do music because it's just so much work and it's just such craziness and it stresses me out so much, but it's just something about it. I got to do it. And so that's just what it is.
So do what you got to do and do what you love to do and do it fully is what I'm kind of putting on top of that.
Completely put your effort into where you want to be. And if you're not putting your... If you're sitting there playing video games and you're doing that for hours a day and you're not trying to be a professional video game player, you're trying to be a architect, well, you're wasting your time, and that's so stupid to me. I hate video games for people that don't like really play video games. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. That's just kind of like the nihilist in me again, where I'm just like, there's so much more you could be doing. And I understand people need to relax, but, and like, there's times you need to chill out and not be doing like, you're like working towards something. But I just really think it's just put as much time and effort as you can towards where you want to be to make you happy. And even if you're struggling now, once you get past the point of struggle to the point where it's better for you, I guess this makes more sense in music, but even if like you want to be a doctor, or even if med school is extremely hard, once you get to be that point, it'll just make you so much happier because you have this achievement that nobody can take away from you. Like if I was to sell out SOBs, even if I failed the next day and everybody stopped listening to me completely, I got that achievement so I can at least say in my life, I got to this point and I'm happy. I forgot what the question was. I just kind of...
That was it. That was inspiring others to attain their highest level of human accomplishment. And I have to say, guys, when he was explaining that to you and going through his perspective, which I very much agree with, Mr. Gatsby here painted the letters A through Z in his unique style, which you guys are going to get all his social links and upcoming projects. And I want you to follow this stuff because you're going to see some of the artwork that he is investing himself in right now and some of these things that are going to extrapolate to much greater projects. And I just need you to understand the symbolism of what I witnessed here as I came in. It was literally creating every letter in the alphabet to create a unique piece of art that was harmonic with what was inside of him on the outside. So he's living that lesson he just spoke to you guys about doing what you love and doing it fully and following through with it and just working.
Instead of spending your money at the bar on Saturday night where you're not going to be really achieving something. I mean, I go out, don't get me wrong, but it's just like, some nights save your money and put that towards what you want to do. Mine was buying paint, finding plywood, and coming up here and painting. And that's just what it is. And even you try to surround yourself with people that want to do that, but even if you can't, even if you're just by yourself doing it, there's I mean, you might have a little bit of fear of missing out, but you're still going to have that sense of pride that you're working towards where you want to be. And that's a really big thing, and it's a really special thing to not take for granted.
Make your heart happy. I love it. So thank you, sir. I just want to, before you're welcome, thank you so much. Very insightful. Before we go, please, again, tell everybody where they can find you online, any shows you have coming up, or any projects you're releasing soon so they can keep an ear out for them.
North Jersey. Sometime in August, I will be performing in New York at the Mercury Lounge, and it's going to be a really big show. I have a lot of my friends going on there. A guy named Ryan Oakes, a rapper named Hi-Rez, and he's been around for a while, and I'm extremely, extremely excited for this show. It's on a Saturday night in Manhattan. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to be hanging out afterwards. That's a night I'll go out and celebrate afterwards. That'll definitely be a fun time.
So come join us, guys.
And I really think that'll be a great time. Everybody should come to that. And I will be providing that information for that show on my social media, which is, again, at Real Gatsby, RealGatzby. Real Gatsby, one word, and that's Instagram and Twitter.
Great. And again, I just want you to guys know, I want you to go to his YouTube page, GATZBY, and boost up those plays. Let's get this guy paid from that YouTube streaming for and then more shows and more awareness, because the higher the plays, the higher the subscriptions, the more the algorithm for all of those websites link them up to the world's biggest stars. And this guy's on his way, along with many other people that we have interviewed and we're going to interview, and we're just giving you the first podcast taste of them. And I'm honored to be the first interview that Gatsby's ever done.
Yes, first interview, first time I'm doing this. I love it, though, because I'm very sporadic in my thoughts, and when you have a long format like this where I can actually just kind of explain what I'm thinking and explain what goes through my head when you ask me a question, not many people are just going to sit there and listen to me rant for half an hour while painting.
That's what we're about here.
So when I can do that, and it's appreciated, that's a beautiful thing, and I love that.
Well, thank you again, and guys, again, one last time, follow Gatsby, GATZBY, on all social media platforms, on Twitter and Instagram. It's Real Gatsby, again, RealGatzby, and hit that YouTube for him, get all his plays up, and let's see this man as a worldwide global success.
Oh, I would love that. The latest music video is a music video called, for a song called Home. And it's a love story between a lesbian interracial couple. And it's about their continuation through life from living in an apartment to finally achieving getting a home for themselves. And it's a beautiful story, and I think you might like it.
Thank you, sir. And guys, go check that video out for Home. Share it on all of your social media platforms. Please. It would be greatly appreciated by all of us. So thank you so much for listening. We'll catch you next time.
Thank you.